Time to check in with State Representative Tacky Chan of Quincy for our first May edition of Tacky Talk. Hey, Tacky, how are you?
Hey Joe, happy May. Today's we're doing a Wednesday today, so it's a little bit unusual. We don't have a good T with a W kind of catchphrase. But I hope everybody's enjoying spring weather. It's actually almost on time for reaching 70-ish degrees. It normally comes in about like May 4th. So we came out of a nippy weekend straight into a windy, windy day.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. The pollen is just flying everywhere too.
Yeah, my green the green cover car is happening.
Yep.
Everyone knows what I'm saying here. But yeah, it's supposed to be a storm. It's Wednesday, supposed to be a storm coming late in the day, which is why I got this warm wind coming in from the south.
Yep, and then you see the green rivers of pollen flowing down the street.
But much relief for many people with pollen allergies, including myself. So
Yes, yeah, they can be quite bad this time of year, that's for sure. So the House is all done with their budget. The Senate's doing theirs now, right?
yeah, we're on a break over here. We generally have a break week after the budget's done, and we'll start up again afterwards. The Senate did debate the REDACT Act last week. Senate Ways Means Budget came out earlier, actually last night. It came out this afternoon, and it looks like they're going to try the similar thing that we did, where they do amendments this week, and then they'll probably go to debate in 2 weeks, give a week for Ways and Means to review amendments. But I'm not entirely sure. It's a little early on the schedule. Looking at the calendar really quickly in the corner here, because they normally go to debate the week after budgets are filed. I mean, budget amendments are filed, but Memorial Day being the 25th of May, if the schedule, if they hold the schedule, they should really go to debate the 18th of May. The week of Memorial Day week. But again, it's a strange month. There's five Fridays in it. It's an unusually weird long month that way. So maybe it'll go to debate next week. I'm not sure yet. We'll find out on Friday when they release the Senate schedule for next week, how they're going to do that, or they're just going to take the week off and do amendment review. I suspect, like the House, they're going to probably almost 1,000 amendments in the Senate, maybe a little less, but we'll know those numbers better when we get to Monday.
Yeah, the amendments are really going to be the key here because all three, the House, the Senate, and the governor's proposals are really pretty close.
Yeah, I don't expect amendments to be adopted at a furious pace like it has in the past. I mean, the House really did hold the line in keeping the bottom line from growing that much. As like you say, almost everybody got a shave and a haircut on their request, and some didn't get anything at all, neither shave nor a haircut. So they really held the line on additional spending. I think the Senate will try to hold the line on additional spending. The House did hold the line of public policy. There's almost no new public policy in the back of the budget. We'll see if the Senate holds the line there. Historically speaking, the Senate has used the budget for public policy more than the House, historically speaking. But we're living in unusual times, and I'm sure you're all sick and tired listening to all of us in the legislature saying we don't have money, largely driven by the fact that we do not know what the federal government's going to do to us.
But it's true, and it's not even at this. It's not just state level. Even the city level, municipal level is feeling it.
Yeah, I think right off the bat, I think they're short like a few million bucks of federal assistance, of which they're not entirely clear what it is. And I think even last year, they already took cuts of hundreds of thousands of dollars from federal assistance on programs that just vanished, commitment that were not followed through by the Trump administration. Promises made, not promises kept. And then, thankfully, CGDB money was held harmless. But certain agencies like HUCAP and Manatee Community Health are right now holding their breath.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's right. And of course the big budget buster and is mass health, right? Medicaid.
Yeah, it is actually the biggest budget buster. Let me lean over here. I've got my PowerPoint, and I
Yep.
can actually tell you about the size of spending. And again, I remind folks, Medicare is Medicare, Mass Health, which is Medicare, Medicaid, is largely driven by, better for worse, by the older population as they get they need more health care, and it gets very costly. And it's I'll give you an idea how much. Mass Health has increased costs. Let's see here, flipping pages here. We actually have a number on our PowerPoint that, is a bit of an eye popper.
As I recall, it's like a third of the entire state budget. It's
It's about
massive.
30%. It's about 30%. It's really the growth rate that's really shocking. And people like to blame immigrants or blame people with developmental disabilities or whatever vulnerable population. People have a bad habit of doing that, which is unfair. Fiscal year 21, it was about 18.3 billion. We're going to start fiscal year 27, it's 22.4 billion. So that's how much growth we've had in about 6 or so years, in total, increased costs of well past $4 billion in that time period. And about 75%, give or take a percentage point, is consumed by folks that are in their senior years. My mother is an example of that, where as a person with illnesses and high need of medical costs, my mom is an example of that. And I'm sure other people listening either are participating or you have parents or grandparents in that higher medical cost situation. And MassHealth literally keeps them alive. I mean, this type of health insurance would be impossible to pay for many of the needs. I do have an oxygen machine now for my mother. That is paid by MassHealth. She qualified for it through a pulmonary exam, and she does qualify for that.
Yeah,
So,
that's what that's how that's why it was designed. That's what the program was designed for.
yeah, and I know about the donut hole, and I do all MassHealth stuff now, and Medicaid, and the complexity of picking insurance. And it's a donut hole, you have to spend a certain amount before they pick up the remaining amounts and the co-pays. I get all that. But it's still better than private insurance in many ways. And, the coverage is quite intensive for anybody who needs equipment. And also, it's not always user friendly, but what you get, you already paid for it. It's in your inside your paycheck. We do have a pay afford problem, which we've talked about regarding in the past regarding birth rates and paying for it. And of course, now the lack of immigration, which doesn't solve everything, but immigration does help regarding increasing that end of the payroll, the younger folks' payroll, as well as contributing to Social Security and Medicare, because that's part of your paycheck. And immigration actually has always been the solution in this country regarding pay it forward, getting more people to pay it forward. Other countries that are more homogeneous do not have great immigration programs, and there's a lot more resistance there because they're more homogeneous than we are on introduction and new people. So, as much as people kind of rally against that kind of stuff, as I say again, the federal government's inability to get their head out of where on immigration policy is going to have huge effects, particularly those of us going to age into Medicare and those of us qualified for Social Security. So if you're like, Gen X up and you're anti-immigration, well, guess what? Unless you have 15 kids, they have 15 kids. They need an obscene number of children. You need someone else to pay it forward. And declining birth rate of under two per family is a sign of that. And you look at the countries like Korea, it's 0.8%. Those are 0.8 children per family, which basically they go extinct in like five generations if they don't do something. And then you have a similar problem all through Europe where there's somewhere between 1.2 and 1.8, like the United States, on number of kids per family. So, and they're smaller populations. So, again, I love people's rhetoric, but they don't seem to understand that it's actually in their own best interest.
I think probably if you laid out in dollars and cents, that might make it a little clearer. I'm certainly Congress knows.
Well, and so Congress isn't a young group of people.
Correct.
With respect to even our own House and Senate leadership, we're not talking about a young demographic here. When you're at a certain age of your life, I discovered, folks, your priorities do change, and how you see the world changes with it. And it can be good, it can be bad, but that's not just how life works. What I thought in my 20s isn't the same as I think in my 50s.
Yeah, I think that's the human experience, right? You learn as you go.
Yeah, but also been in public service a long time and have engaged with a lot of different folks from all over the world, and not just here in Queens, but over the world. And, as one of my friends said, the opportunity to talk to more diverse people, more different people, different ideas, wherever I go, really changes my thinking in the short and long term view of the world. Plus, working in public policy a long time and understanding that, there's ramifications of all decisions, but also waiting for what I call maturation. You put a policy in place, you have to wait for it to mature to see what the actual results are. And sometimes it works, and sadly, sometimes it does not.
Right.
But if you don't try to do something, it may be worse than doing nothing at all.
Seeing as we're talking about international issues, this is AAPI month, right? Asian American Pacific Islander month.
Yeah, it's so it's actually not really an international issue, it's a domestic issue. But
True.
I did talk to the Korean consulate. We can circle back to that if you like. No, it's AIP month. It was established by the federal government, starting as a heritage week, day, heritage week, and then became a heritage month. And then George H.W. Bush was the one who signed into law, making it a month. And we actually made this a month, actually under Governor Baker in 2018, if I remember correctly, because I was the one who wrote the bill to make it AIP month. One of the few states at the time that had it, despite the actually substantial Asian population. It's actually over 7% of today's population, which is a lot when you think about it. And we encourage people to not just celebrate the diversity of Asian cultures, and there's a lot of different countries in Asia. And even inside those countries, they have inside there's multiple cultures inside that country. And it's a good time to celebrate and learn about them. But also, the House Asian Caucus is encouraging Shop AAPI Month again for this is our fifth year doing this to encourage our colleagues and residents to try new places, but also promote places that you like on social media. Tag MA, MA, let's see, it's a Mass Asian Caucus on Instagram. And I can't remember these call signs suddenly in my head. It's at
All right. Well, I'm sure you can find it pretty quickly if you search
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I think it's MA Caucus, MAA Caucus, Asian, MA Asian Caucus. We encourage people to tag that. We're encouraging our colleagues around the state to do so as well. And there's also a lot of different events that are kind of going off. There's Boston Asian Film Festival this month. Obviously, Queen's Asian Resources is celebrating its 25th anniversary of the founding of the agency and its incorporation this month. At the end of the month, they're having a big banquet on that. You do have a number of different local road races supporting local organizations. There is actually an email I get regarding a whole bunch of different AIP events going on in month. This individual, she made it her mission to compile these things and email them out to folks. It's run by the AIP Heritage. Let me see if I can find it really quickly as we kind of do things on the fly here. Asian American Pacific. Islander, let's see, AAPI EC. So Asian Pacific Islander. I don't know what the EC stands for,
All right.
but I mean they've been compiling a lot of information out there.
Events calendar, how's
That's a good way
that?
to put it.
I just made it up. I don't know.
Well, for example, there is the Cambodian New Year, April 14 to 16, which also is the Laotian New Year. For example, in the Thai New Year's, April 13th to 15th. So that's representative of the Buddhist calendar, for example, this month. Give you I'm sorry, that was April. Sorry, that was last month. But give an idea that we do kind of recognize a lot of different cultures, and Buddhist New Year was last month. But we have a lot of events going on this month at different community levels, and I'm sure. Folks that live in larger Asian populations would be having different celebrations. And I actually do not know what's going on at the local level here. I don't know what's going on. I'm sure the schools are doing something, but they've not always done something. I know it's inconsistent in the past.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Schools. Yes. I know that the Thomas Crane Library has a number of different programs folks should check out throughout the month as well, at all the different branches, mostly at the main branch, but some of the smaller ones as well.
Yeah, it's actually kind of odd. I get a lot of invites for AIP month around the state. And we discussed them on my scheduling nightmare this month. But I actually don't see a lot in my own city.
It's curious. There'll be a discussion at the school committee about making the Lunar New Year holiday again. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I saw in the Patriot Ledger there was some weird rule regarding needing two-thirds associated contracts. So Why is that relevant? Well, this administration obviously collective bargaining the unionized in terms of the teachers, but also some of the administrative staff and janitorial staff. And to create another off day is not part of the collective bargaining agreement. And that can run into a bit of a problem. So again, not my legal expertise, but I'm sure people in legal over at the school department, the city needs to sort this out with the various unions under the collective bargaining agreements because it becomes a paid holiday that was not actually part of the paid holiday calendar of the collective bargaining. And not saying they can't do it, but according to the Patriot Ledger, they need a two-thirds majority from the school committee to do something. It's a rule of the school committee, but it has to address the contract issue.
Right. Yeah. And there's argument about the rule being applied inequitably because Good Friday is a school holiday.
But it's also collective bargaining.
Right. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, and I'm not sure either. And I like to remind everybody as well, Lunar New Year is not a religious holiday. This is a huge mistake I see with people talking about this. Now, Buddhist New Year is a religious holiday, but Lunar New Year is a secular holiday.
Okay. So it's a cultural thing.
It's a cultural thing, unlike
Okay.
Friday, which is a religious holiday.
Right.
We can go back way back when of why we have these things in terms of the history of this country, but it is a secular holiday, no different than the lunar and the standard New Year's on January 1st.
I see.
So people should not mistake this as a religious exemption component.
Okay.
A
That's a good
Buddhist,
distinction, actually. Yeah.
it is. Meanwhile, the Buddhist holidays I talked about, Buddhist New Year, are back in April, should definitely be considered part of religious exemption in this in the school systems, because of the fact that it is legit a holiday. Same thing as Ramadan and others. However, how they celebrate the holiday doesn't involve taking a day off nor a fasting component. It's each culture of the of each culture regarding how they handle Buddha New Year is different.
Oh, I see. Okay, interesting. So I wonder if this will ever get to the state or even federal level to have a national holiday.
No.
No.
There's
Period,
a
end of
push.
story.
Yeah, I mean, there's a push actually now to create Diwali as a state holiday,
Yes.
which again, the Indian population is very substantial, but not that substantial compared to the remain, rest of the population.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's all the different ethnic groups are trying to push their either secular or religious holidays or state holidays. And but I do appreciate their efforts. There's so many other things we could be doing here regarding equity and making sure access to resources and language access and all the different inequities in government that can be addressed. But that's what I do a lot of, trying to find ways to increase access and trust in government with people of color and immigrant populations. And sometimes the conversation goes well when I do, and sometimes the conversation does not.
Right. I can see. Yeah, I can see that, based on people's personal experiences.
Yeah, you've interviewed a lot of different folks, Joe. So you understand this, how every conversation is a unique conversation. It's not necessarily a generic conversation at all. It's
Not no, it's very personal, actually. Yeah.
very personal when I have these conversations too. So again, let's see how it goes. And they said once you start these pathways down, it can open up opportunities for others depending on the changing populations.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're at a break right now, what's next after the break on at the Beacon Hill level?
I'm not entirely sure yet. The calendar's been really iffy. We are looking at the governor's economic development bill, which we'll probably start to look more closely as we get to June. I know there's the environmental bond bill sitting in Ways and Means. We're getting a lot of advocacy, from various groups on that, and especially with the boating community. But just be aware this is like a strange plastic slash paper bag ban in there, which for the love of I don't understand why the Senate did that on like a paper ban. As I'm very, very aware of, when you do these kind of bans, the demographic that hurts the most is the lower end of the socioeconomic scale. Working class and people with higher needs are hurt the most by requiring things like a paper bag ban, but also if they have to pay for a paper bag.
Yeah, I think it was 10 cents or something. Yeah.
Yeah, that creates an additional cost. And I mean, I'm one of the ones that actually use my paper bags for holding recycling. But also, I used to take plastic bags and it was all trash, but they used that were wet. And now I'm forced to buy from Stop and Shop trash bags, the little ones, to hold wet items, as opposed to getting a bag from the store and where to buy my groceries. I mean, I don't know who proposed these things, but clearly they have no ability to reuse items because they want to make you pay 10 cents for something that I vehemently like, are you out of your minds kind of thing.
Yeah, they need a little Yankee frugality injected into their thinking.
Well, some of these folks that advocate for this are the same things on like, well, we should reuse everything and recycle. Well,
Well,
there is, you can recycle paper and plastic in your own home.
yes, certainly. I think every community has some type of program by now.
Well, no, just but like for personal use.
Oh, for personal use, for sure, yes.
Yeah, I mean the number of things I've taken dirty laundry in Stop and Shop plastic bags in the past.
Oh yeah, they have multiple uses. I mean, I have a cat. I'll say no more, but that's what I use mine for.
Exactly. So I mean, it's not as if, I get it. I mean, I do understand the desire to reduce waste, but it makes it sound like, these folks that advocate for this stuff. I mean, I just scratch my head sometimes because, I just scratch my head sometimes. I just don't get it. But that's the big complaint I'm getting on emails now is the 10 cents on paper bags and the fact it really does affect a very specific demographic of people who just have less.
Yeah,
And given
interesting.
hyperinflation now on the cost of eating, and I was talking to John Keenan about how produce isn't lasting more than a couple of days. And it's, depending what store, the quality is kind of like not great in certain situations.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that, but you're right.
So, I mean, we're looking at $4.29 to like 59 cents in Quincy on gas, depending what station we're talking about. It's probably clear. It's definitely cleared $5 in some parts of Boston.
Oh, for sure. Yes.
And you're seeing diesel prices exceeding gas, car gas prices.
Yes.
Again, it's a delayed effect, but what you see today is what your price is going to go up tomorrow. So, I mean, I'm not inclined to put more pressure on people's pocketbooks in this current economic environment. But, we'll see how this stuff plays out as we go.
Have you had
So,
a chance to review the governor's, I guess it's Safe Ride Act or Ride Safe Act, to regulate scooters and e-bikes, mopeds, things like that?
I read an article on it a bit, but I've not actually looked at it. I think all of us have been walking on the streets, have these like electric scooters zip by them. There are bike lanes in Quincy in certain parts of the city, which I kind of scratch my head about. Do they actually qualify for a bike lane or not? I have no idea.
It's a good question. Yeah, I don't know either.
And the city's bike lanes aren't contiguous, meaning they don't actually like continue.
No, it could leave you like dead-ended somewhere, right?
Yeah, and in Boston they have special bike lane traffic lights, which I've seen literally no one ever obey, which I find us really kind of astounding looking at Boston lights. I'm sure someone listening says, "Well, I obey those traffic lights." Yeah, I'm sure you do. But when I'm driving the city in Boston, for some reason when I'm there, they never obey those traffic lights.
Well, I mean, to be effective, everybody has to obey them.
Oh, it's literally asking you killed. I mean, that's where the light is there. And I'm sure there are plenty of people listening saying, "Well, I obey the law and watch for stop signs and traffic lights." But the volume of times I see people don't pay attention to stop signs or the special lights, especially in Boston, is basically asking to die. Which I find very disturbing. It almost like it defies common sense that you can just cross a red light doing a green light's turning or a stop sign because the other side sees my car stop at a stop sign. They stop, but they're going to move forward and you decide to just zip right through. I mean, it is asking to die.
Yeah, I mean, and the operators of these devices, these mobility devices, they're not carrying liability insurance. So if they hurt somebody while they're riding it, who pays for that?
Well, your car insurance will be the one that's going to be taking part of cost. One of the questions I have is I know that pedestrians and bicycles are considered pedestrians for purpose of car insurance recovery. So, you would go after the driver's car insurance for medical and injury recovery. As for these scooters and bikes, electric bikes, I'm not clear because they're not a rise to the category of vehicle, which is 30 miles
Right,
an
they're
hour.
not registered, right,
So I'm not clear where it goes. And I've seen news articles in Channel 5 that you can rev these suckers up. You can take the limiters off these things, and those things can zip to like 45 miles an hour.
Oh, for sure, yes. So I mean that can kill somebody if you hit them with going that speed. Yeah.
Yeah, the motor is not, well, actually, even at 15 miles an hour, it could kill someone,
True.
depending on how hard you hit them. But
Right.
I mean, even the motors aren't designed to limit, is actually a built-in limiter regarding the ability to basically rev up, for lack of a better term. So I'm not sure how it's going to play out. I mean, I would not lie. I do walk. The weather's nicer. I do more walking in the evening hours to get my steps in. And yeah, if, no warnings, this thing zips by me on the sidewalk, clearing 10 miles an hour minimum. And, I'm caught off guard and have to go, the sideway dodge.
Exactly. Yeah, you feel the breeze go by you.
Yeah, I mean, I see it too. I mean, I'm not going to tell you my walking routes. I do change it around. But, yeah, no, I, you know, and it doesn't matter what street I'm on, any neighborhood you find one.
Right.
Hey, let me, you
So,
know, no, go on.
oh, okay. I was just going to change subjects because the latest now is that there's, let's see, the Strait of Hormuz is open, but the blockade against Iranian ports is still in effect, and will bomb you if you decide to break the blockade. I just don't know where it stands right now.
Yeah, the taxpayers really should be greatly concerned about this whole situation, not just because of the massive economic costs and the fact that everybody hates us right now as a country because of the economic pain we're causing a lot of folks, and also impact our air travel as well as our gas prices. But the so-called dome they want to put up, has us talk about, is they want to create basically a no-fly zone over the land space in Iran using the U.S. Air Force shooting at everything coming through. The U.S. claimed they have secretly cleared all the mines or confirmed no mines hugging the UAE Oman side of the strait. And they want all ships to hug that side of the coastline with U.S. ships on the other side providing some protection. And then they have this really kind of real ambitious thing regarding neighboring countries. And, the UAE got hit again, hitting a very specific pipeline that crosses the peninsula that actually avoids the strait. It's a very small pipeline, it's only 2 million barrels a day, but it actually bypasses the strait, which allows ships to go in one side of Oman, avoid Iran completely, and keep moving. But they're still in striking distance of Iran missiles and drones and other types of military hardware. So it's a very ambitious, very expensive plan for the US to maintain these blockades and create these no-fly zones and provide, minesweepers and actual ship support. And again, the plan is to do economic crushing of the government to make them submit. But more than one European news outlet has reported that, the Iranian government, not the people, the government says sitting on like $4.5 billion of money and more of cash they've been sitting on for a long time. In preparation for a day like this. So the military and those guys are getting paid, and they can still buy stuff from places we don't know where because everyone denies they're giving them weapons.
Right.
But I mean, they're definitely buying more stuff. So I mean, they have enough to bunker down. The population in Iran is suffering immensely.
Yes.
But as I said before, they're not exactly an armed insurgency here. I mean, the Iranian military just mow down tens of thousands of people at a time.
Oh no, they're very suppressed population, right? Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, they just mowed them down. I mean, they don't care. So it gives me a little fun segue into the fact I did have a talk with the Ukraine consulate this week, where again, updating what's going on
Oh yeah.
and the negative impact this war has had on their country, of which, a substantial amount of the oil does come from Iran, but about 30% of the oil also comes from the United States. But obviously, there's no, there's well, there is reports the Gulf Coast is up to 5.2 million barrels a day, which is an enormous number of exports for the US. There is a capacity. There's no more ability to pump, no more ability to find. Everything's maxed out, right? There's a
Right.
point where you can't put more out of the ground
No,
because,
they have to build new refineries to increase it. Yeah.
yeah, and new wells, and that's not happening anytime
Right.
soon. So, they're reaching max capacity in export now, and both LNG and oil. So this has a huge cost to the Korean economy. And the Koreans do have wind and solar, but if you look on the map, they're actually very similar to the other northeast countries in the United States, where winter is cloudy and they don't get perfect wind. And it gets pretty cold. They get out of Siberia jet stream, similar how we get the Alberta jet stream. Winter months, it gets really cold. So, and it turns out the belief is the North Koreans are actually supplying weapons to Iran. They're buying weapons from North Korea. So
Oh.
again, supposedly it's hard to verify some of this stuff.
Yeah.
And it turns out there's still North Korean troops sitting in Ukraine.
North Korean troops in Ukraine?
Well, a year and a half ago, North Korea sent a bunch of troops to Ukraine to fight on behalf of the Russians. The Russians have a manpower
Oh,
shortage.
on behalf of the Russians. Okay.
Yeah, there's a huge manpower shortage. And according to news reports, the North Korean military isn't very good because there's nobody in the Russian side that spoke Korean. So it's hard to direct troops if you can't talk to them. And I
Right.
don't think they can use Google Translate. So
Hmm.
there's all kinds of like straight up massacres of North Korean troops because of just inability to do command and control correctly with them. And the base just become Canada.
Wow.
But I'm sure the Russians gave Kim Jong-un quite a nice sum of weapons, money, and intelligence and access to satellites and all that stuff. And the North Koreans are actively working on a ballistic nuclear weapon. That is true.
Yeah, well, it's, I mean, they've made no secret of that.
Yeah, and the U.S. government has definitely withdrawn troops north from the DMZ. Trump keeps talking about 50,000 U.S. troops. Well, they're actually really down to 28,000. So South Korea already has experienced a drawdown of 20,000 U.S. troops. Even though they do have mandatory military service, you may remember BTS had to do mandatory military service.
That's right.
And they're doing the reunion tour after mandatory military service. And they do buy U.S. weapons. But, you look on the map, it isn't like China, Russia, and North Korea can't just kind of like just throw stuff at them, drones and short range artillery. It's not like it's not that difficult to blow them up. So obviously, the U.S. government's a huge deterrent against that. You don't know your Korean history. It's really awful 20th century history for Korea. It's not just the Korean War, but also post-Korean War. Recovery took like 40 years, essentially. And prior to World War II, actually during World War II, actually, prior and during, they were basically subject to near genocide by the Japanese occupation of Imperial Japan. So, Korea has a very much defensive stance in maintaining their people and the culture, ignoring the birth rate conversation we had earlier.
Yeah.
So, they're actually also impeached two presidents, and the system works because
That's right.
coup dictatorships was a big problem for the Koreans from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and into early 90s.
Yeah.
So the
That's still
system.
very, very fresh. That's not that long ago at all.
No, their entire system's against military dictators.
Yeah.
The entire government's designed for it, just to keep it from happening. So yeah, I mean, it was a very interesting conversation, and how they want to invest in the U.S. The parliament there has approved the money for the part of the tariff agreement with the president, but they're very confused over there because they can't figure out exactly where this investment money is going to go because they do want to know where the money is going to go. They just want to keep money, but. The more I talk to the Korean consulate, it sounds like the Trump administration just wants them to hand a bag of money and walk away.
I see. I see.
When I say a
Okay.
bag of money, I mean like $250 million worth of
Yeah.
bag.
Right. A load of money. Yeah. Yeah.
$250 billion. So I mean, is it a billion? Or is it a million?
Must be.
I think 250. God, I can't remember anymore. But I remember it was they kind of like they were like because they have to answer to their own taxpayers.
Sure. That's right. Yeah. Did the whole issue of remember the Georgia auto plant raid, did that come up during your discussion?
That was talked about last year.
Okay.
The this still being worked on. How's that say? I
Yeah.
mean, regarding the immigration status and the ineffectiveness of the U.S. government's immigration office we just talked about before, to actually like I don't know follow through. So that's seems to be a problem. That's $350 billion of U.S. investment.
Yeah, with a B, right? Yeah.
Would be so
Yeah.
350 billion of Korean U.S. investment the to investment in the U.S. and the Korean government and Korean people like to actually know where the money's going to go. So,
Yeah, funny about that.
oh, funny how that works. It sounds like U.S. sounds similar to U.S. taxpayers, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think we'd want to know if we were spending $350 billion somewhere. We want to know what it was for. For
Yeah, and
sure.
your economy is only like their economy is about 4.5-ish billion dollars, and we're about 30, sorry, trillion dollars. We're over 31 trillion. So, give an idea of the huge differential economies.
Yes. Yeah, it represents a huge amount of spending for their government.
Yeah. So there's a lot of like question marks there. They obviously reemphasize to us that it's not like they're being obstinate, but their own government and their own taxpayers want answers about what they're doing with the United States. No different than you and I talking here, and I'm sure all the listeners should hopefully understand and sympathize with the Korean people about the fact it's their tax money. They should like.
Well, I mean, they are elected by the people, so they're answerable to them.
Oh yeah, we talked about this several times now about the fact that Democratic republics. You do have to answer to their own population, not to the US, regarding their own survivability elections and anti-Trump working really well in those European countries. So we also talk about some local investments, biotech companies and whatnot, and they will talk about having the Asian caucus perhaps visit some of these locations to see what's going on in non-government investment, private business investment in the United States by Korean companies. And then we talked a lot of security issues in the Pacific as well as the Northeast Pacific, Northeast Asia, and how surrounding countries have becoming more aligned with each other despite their differences because the threat of potentially invasion of Taiwan, but also maintaining free trade straight from not just the Strait of Musang-Rae, but all through Southeast Asia into Northeast Asia because it's all shipping routes for them and us as well. And it's also the Strait of Hormuz closing even makes it more expensive because the more U.S. oil to buy, the further it takes to get to that. They have to come out of the Gulf Coast, travel, underneath South America, heading for Asia through the Pacific. Or they go, it's a small tanker, use the Panama Canal, but the Panama Canal is basically outdated for modern shipping. And then, which is ridiculous why we should get that back, by the way, does not meet modern shipping size. And then, they're going to have to travel through South Africa and heading that way to Asia. It's very expensive for them to do so.
And time consuming too,
It's very expensive. And they've confirmed what the news reports are saying is that all the oil that's in transit, that started the transit at the beginning of the war, because it does take many weeks to reach destination, has already reached destination. There is no more floating oil out there. That includes the sanctioned oil from Iran and sanctioned oil from Russia.
So it's all been delivered. It's probably all been used.
Yep, all been delivered, refined, and used. So, at this point in, the shortages could be real. And it was actually kind of funny conversation because some of these Southeast Asian countries are actually starting to do rationalization of electricity, encourage people to not use the air conditioning as much. And it's really hot down there, by the way, Southeast Asia. And also work from home and try to reduce use of gasoline. However, this is an election cycle in Korea Parliament right now. The 4-year cycle. So we had an interesting discussion about local politics and how rationing electricity would probably have the same result in our country.
Yes, and we have
Regarding
midterm elections coming up this year.
we're discussing that. Yeah, probably you guys are, I don't have to tell you guys how that would go on the election cycle. I think you can all figure it out. So their local the parliament's actually interestingly it is a buy-in where they also want to maintain their seats, but they're trying to address a national energy crisis, oh, which was not their creation. And the 2 days ago, a Korean cargo ship was hit, docked across the strait, which they wasn't even moving. And that sent a lot of surprises to the South Korean government because it was a non-mobile ship docked on the other side of the strait. And it was hit by drones, and it was a cargo ship. And the Iranians aren't stupid. They're hitting parts of the ship, which damage ships, but don't actually cause oil spills.
I see.
Desalinization is a big part of water supply for all Gulf countries. Everything in the Gulf, is desalinization. So, oil slicks in the water becomes a real problem.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're very careful about how they shoot things. The U.S. government is trying to be careful too because you could destroy the water supply not just for Iran but for everybody there.
That could bring a country down quicker than anything.
Yep, and then the helium shortage is coming up, which is a big problem for semiconductors because Samsung is in South Korea. It's a chip plant construction, and fertilizer, as we talked before, is becoming a problem as well. So they're moving into their growing season because they're in a similar weather pattern as we are, And this is going to be a huge problem on food issues. And they'd like to do more on nuclear power to wean themselves off fossil fuels, supplementing their renewable power. Turns out all the uranium is located in North Korea.
Oh, okay. So that plan is fouled.
Yeah, they have no ability to mine uranium because it doesn't exist. So they have to buy uranium from somewhere, and they buy it from the US.
Interesting. This is really it's affecting the entire world, really.
Yeah, it was a very interesting conversation. As I said before, the fun thing about this job is you get to talk to other people from other and gives us some insight what's going domestically. And I'm very thankful that the Korean consulate's willing to come and give us some updates on what's
Yeah, that's
geopolitics in the world and remind us that North Korea is legit real danger geographic regions and how more tenuous you are than we are in the United States. We have two giant oceans, the border, and no real threats to North or South militarily. While you're in a country where you have threats on two sides, three sides, you consider the Russians. And no respect from the Russian or Chinese navies passing through your waters without notice.
right.
You're sitting on a little peninsula where anything can happen. They don't love the Japanese because attempted to kill them all one time. But I mean, in terms of national security, the Japanese are very important, despite their past history of being very, very, very bad. The military alliances with the United States, Japan, and Australia is crucial for not just civilian and military, but also for free transit of shipping throughout that region.
Yeah. Interesting to see that China is now interjecting, trying to bring an end to the war.
Oh, they're again. The president's supposed to visit China this month. The Foreign State Department guys are already in China now doing the setup on how this conversation to go. The Chinese government does not do improv at all. Everything is scripted. Every question is determined before we begin the conversation. They do not like surprises. If there are surprises, they won't respond to surprises. That is the MO of the Chinese Foreign Ministry. So Trump tries to do anything on the fly, they will just not say anything at all. That is the continuous position on that stuff. So we'll see how it goes regarding that. And while China is a huge consumer of oil, they do have their own strategic reserves in oil. They do have strategic reserves in jet fuel. The US actually has a massive strategic reserve of jet fuel. However, keep in mind, jet fuel reserves were really meant for self-defense, not for general population use.
Right.
And it's harder to refine in some ways than gasoline or just general. In this case, we just have oil. Because we have oil reserves, not gasoline reserves. But European countries don't have giant reserves of jet fuel, which you're going to see flight cancellations. Even domestically, you're going to you, the fall schedule of flights is being changed as we speak.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so book early.
Book early, and that may change. Especially long flights to Asia is a problem because while we have enough jet fuel, most likely to get through the summer months. The return trip is the problem.
Yeah. You need to fuel up to come home.
That's it. I think people have forgotten the fact that if you go to a different country, you need to leave said country, and that country has jet fuel or no jet fuel for you to come home in.
Right.
The airlines are very aware of that.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
While they can get you there's no guarantee you can come back. That has
Right.
been very much factored at a global level, as you can imagine. With all airlines, because all partners with each other different ways to try to figure out what the air schedule is going to be in the fall, whether or not you go to Europe, or whether what's your ability to come back. And the cruise ships are in the same boat, believe it or not. I just made a bad pun there, but fuel prices and fuel accessibility is a big problem for cruise ships right now.
Yes, for sure. It affects everything. It affects everything.
Well, the administration reminds us that. And it's true, we do have a lot of energy independence because we do export our fossil fuels. But it doesn't make us immune from the impacts they've created.
No, that's quite evident at the gas station down the street. Yeah.
Yeah, they were under some false impression that we have a degree of energy independence and that it will affect local prices. But it does because they forgot about jet fuel and ability to travel back and forth, for other countries to travel back and forth. They forgot about the cruise ships. They forgot about the ships. Field to just the field of tankers and the cargo ships beyond just the cruise ships. They forgot about the fertilizer. They forgot about the helium because you need helium for chips, including places like Intel and AMD, which is what we're trying to do in the US in chip manufacturing. And then you forgot about fertilizer because we buy fertilizer from everywhere. And Canada is actually one of our major fertilizer providers. And we, you know, and the administration keeps upsetting Canada. So, I mean, that doesn't help either. And it actually it affects our import of goods because fuel prices from around the world. It has to get their food to us because we do buy a lot of product from Latin America, Central America, Europe, and Asia. And I remind folks that the demographic that suffers the most since the beginning of the tariff war in 2016 is Asian demographic because our food sources, a lot of our imported product are Asian, and those tariffs have not gone down. And the fuel prices are going to even add to the cost of everything from soy sauce to rice.
Interesting. Yep. Well, we haven't solved anything, but we've certainly raised a lot of questions.
Well, I'm getting tired, as you can tell, by the constant saying certain words, but it's a blatant lie because it doesn't reflect our real world prices. And, you know, as you and I both have discussed in the past, and so listeners may or may not believe me, but you drink the Kool-Aid, it's great. But, you know, you drink the Kool-Aid and you're looking outside and you continue to drink the Kool-Aid in denial, then you got a problem.
Well, was it Nero fiddled while Rome burned?
No, I mean, there are people in politics that, you know, refuse to acknowledge there is a problem, and you're right to see a fire, but refuse to acknowledge, you know, that it's there and it's caused by who caused the fire, right? So, again, you guys all know I'm fairly practical politics, not really kind of this ideological stuff, but it's troubling, and I share your pain because as we talk about, you know, I try to get to BJ's or Prime or any other gas station, and you know, I'm just thankful they stabilized my mom's insurer price structure. It's stabilized now. It's not jumping up on them, spiking.
Yeah. Oh, these are real world issues, you know, right in your own household.
Oh yeah, my mom needs an insurer, bottom line, end of story. I mean, this is not an optional good I can buy. And I'm very conscious of the price spikes when it comes up. And now they've kind of stabilized the prices the last few months. So I'm very happy for that. But yeah, this is life, and I live it with you all.
We're at the end of the hour, Jackie.
How much fun we can have at the beginning of May.
The merry month of May, as they say.
Yeah, I'm actually going to have Japan Day tomorrow. So I'm going
Oh.
to spend a little time with the Japanese consulate at the State House and have a bit of a chat about, hopefully, have a little chat. I'm sure we have a more formal meeting down the road. And then also, QCAP annual meeting and award ceremony is also tomorrow night as well. So I'll be at a QCAP award meeting. I know the Lions was last week. I missed it because I promised my friend Chris Markey, the rep from Dartmouth, he's running for district attorney down there, and promised I was going to go to his kickoff, which is why I missed the Lions Club because I promised somebody else months ago I was going to be someplace else.
Can't be two places at once, yeah.
Well, I do follow through on my promises. When someone asked me to be there, unless it was a family crisis, I would be there.
Sure.
So, you know, obviously, I'm wishing one of my other colleagues well in his next endeavor. And it felt important to show up and show my support. Which also funny. People knew who I was. It was very strange.
You're famous, Jackie. Are you kidding?
Oh God, I love going to rooms where no, you know, one thing about going to other political events in other parts of the state is that no one cares you're alive. And it's actually quite refreshing. And you can kind of watch like everywhere in the world's different in politics. It's interesting to see how the room moves, you know. And
Oh, right. Like when a movie star walks into a restaurant or something.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, one of the locals walk in, and then, you know, this is like cluster of people running that direction, right?
Right.
It's just fascinating to observe how it works, and you know, the different types of officials. Like, you know, some places county officials are a bigger deal than other places, and
Sure.
got some retired government officials that are very popular still that walk in a
Oh,
room.
yeah.
It's like the Renfrew Bilotti walks into a room type thing.
Yep.
That's part of an interesting observation, and also no one cares about life, so that helps me be, you know, to observe. But I did find some few friends down there, and we had a chance to do some catch up, which was also fun. But the
Nice.
State House is open, as you can tell. I'm going to be in the State House tomorrow for Japan Day. It's 617-722-2370, 617-722-2370 at the State House. Room 42, room 42. We do have staff. Please walk in. Also be aware that reception can't pick up the front phone immediately. We are in the electronic phone chain. You have to wait a little while to get to my name.
You're only the second name in. You don't have to wait that long.
People are very impatient. They hang up fast.
Oh,
I've
I
got
guess.
more
All right.
complaints already about that phone chain.
Okay.
I do not control my own suite. That's the thing, folks. People think I like this is Congress. No, I
You're
do
just a
not.
tenant.
I'm just a tenant. That is actually the acronym for it. I'm just a tenant. This is not Congress. I do not get my own suite. I have an office space I share. Tacky.chan at mhouse.gov, tackey.chan at mhouse.gov is the email. State Representative Tacky Chan Facebook. We're going to be posting some stuff along with the House Asian Caucus regarding MAAPI month. And we have the Instagram at Tacky Chan. I think it's at Tacky underscore Chan. We do have the tackychin.org contact page slash information website. But more importantly, we have malegislature.gov, which I encourage people to form an account. Yet again, I'm saying this for the 100th time or 500th time, it feels like, to put an account there. And you can watch our hearings and watch our sessions and get
Yep.
bills and information that you want. And of course, we have QATV at QATV.org, QATV at QATV.org. And we encourage folks to send an email to Joe and things they would like to hear and talk about. It doesn't have to be about politics. It can be about anything in life.
For sure. Yeah, we'll try and tackle anything.
Yeah, you don't want to hear us talk politics for a day or government. You want to talk about cooking or pets or
Whatever.
home.
Gardening.
Yeah, gardening, whatever makes you happy. We're happy to discuss something different if you so desire.
Sure. Okay, we'll check in next week, Tacky.
Yep, talk to you next week.